You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
It's going down right here.
Welcome back to hour number three of FST. Thanks for joining us on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for listening on TuneIn, on iHeartRadio, on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. We appreciate it. And we're going to turn the page over to basketball for a moment because NBA had a wild week. It's been they dominate the offseason, their own offseason, as they do each and every year. There's obviously been a lot of big moves, but the final shoe to drop, or the final major shoe to drop, did happen earlier this week when Kawhi Leonard was traded to the Toronto Raptors. So who better to bring in than a Canadian basketball expert, Josh Eberle. Josh, thanks for joining the program.
Yeah, no worries. Happy to be here.
So Kawhi Leonard wanted to go to L.A., and the San Antonio Spurs made sure to send him to the coldest weather city in the NBA. So what are your initial thoughts on it, value for both teams? Because Toronto obviously takes a big risk in keeping him long term, but the Spurs maybe didn't get every single last ounce of value they could have gotten out of him. But what are your thoughts on it in general?
I think overall the Raptors are the big winner here. Simply put, elite talent in the NBA does not move to cities like Toronto, Minnesota, Orlando, Denver. You know, if you're one of these other markets that hasn't been known as a title contender, that hasn't had superstars constantly in the past, you know, your opportunity to get guys like Kawhi Leonard is very thin. So they took a risk. You know, they traded the franchise player, they traded the fan favorite. And, you know, it's made some Canadians rather upset. But the bottom line is Kawhi Leonard gives the Toronto Raptors a better chance to win a championship this year than DeMar DeRozan does it over the next three. So I think, you know, whatever the risk, whether he leaves, whether he doesn't, you know, this was the right move to bring the Raptors forward, or at least have a chance to do that. They banged their head against the wall 5 years in a row. It was time for a shakeup. On the Spurs end, I think they could have got more. If I was them, I would have been looking more at a rebuilding package. But given the situation and how little leverage they had and how difficult Kawhi Leonard made things for them, I think they did okay getting an all-NBA player back in DeMar DeRozan. You know, he's not an ideal fit in today's NBA, but he's a talented player. And you'd think with Greg Popovich, he'd continue to grow.
Josh, I want to ask you in terms of the way the Raptors went about this, because obviously bringing in Kawhi Leonard is something that they really couldn't pass up on, especially with LeBron being gone. This is probably their best chance, and maybe last chance, to actually come out of the Eastern Conference. But what they did with DeMar in a week ago, promising him that he wasn't going anywhere, I think they might have long-term kind of screwed themselves, because I now don't know how free agents could really trust this organization after pulling that type of move. What was your reaction to that?
I'll say this first. It's now been rather disputed whether he was told or whether he was promised, as he claimed, that he wouldn't be traded, or whether there was some sort of miscommunication. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know what happened in that room. If they lied to him, that's not okay. These are grown men. You should be able to look DeMar in the eye and say, you know, we didn't throw your name out there. We might have an offer we can't pass up, but it's not like we have you on the trade block. Whatever you have to say to level with the guy, I think you owed it to him. So if that was the case, that sucks. I'm sorry that they did that. On the other hand, you know, Anthony Morrow can blow smoke all he wants, Lou Williams. Who's coming to Toronto? You know, like fans, analysts, everyone always looks at cap money like it's this huge asset. But for teams like Toronto, it is. The two biggest free agents in history are Hedo Turkoglu and Damari Carroll. So in 21 seasons as a franchise, 23 seasons as a franchise, Hedo Turkoglu and Damari Carroll. I'm sorry that LeBron is sitting in Los Angeles. Man, I was really considering them in 2021, but the way they treated my boy DeMar, I'm not going there now. I just don't buy it.
I think that makes sense. In the way that... Yeah. Go ahead, Mike, sorry.
No, go ahead.
I just then wanted to follow up because regardless, they now, I think I would say, have the best player in the East. Maybe some would make that argument for Giannis. I also like that they bought back Danny Green in this deal. I think overall it's an absolute home run for Toronto. I know we have a lot to see before we get to the season, but right now, do you feel like Toronto is the best team in the Eastern Conference?
I think it's tough. I mean, you know, like Kawhi already being in Toronto, you know, meeting up with Masai, the report that he's warming up to the city. I think it's positive. Like, this is a guy. I mean, there are four players in the history of the NBA that have won Defensive Player of the Year and MVP. David Robinson, Hakeem Olajuwon, Kevin Garnett, and Michael Jordan. You know, Kawhi Leonard's won Defensive Player of the Year twice. He finished second and third in MVP voting the last 2 years. He was healthy. He made the All-NBA first team over Kevin Durant. Like, this is one of the three or four best players in the NBA if he's healthy in that, and he's that guy, which I'm hoping that he is, you know, for the Raptors' sake. If he's that guy, the type of lineups they can run with Kyle Lowry, Danny Green, Kawhi Leonard, OG Anunoby, Pascal Siakam, Serge Ibaka, they're going to be defensive stronghold. I think it, you know, at the moment I have them in Boston neck and neck, but if Kawhi is at 100%, he's the guy that we saw in 2016, 2017, just giving teams buckets in the playoffs before Zaza took them out, I could definitely see a path to them going to the finals.
So you mentioned the defensive side of the ball, which is a good transition for me to talk about the Spurs. And I think it's fair to say they're going to be challenged defensively with the lineup of an aging Gasol, Aldridge, DeRozan, Murray, Patty Mills. I think we're going to, and Rudy Gay just re-signed there. So I think we're going to see some struggles with them defensively, correct?
Oh, yeah. I mean, here's the thing. I can see this going one of two ways. There is a lot of faith in that organization for good reasons. I mean, obviously, they've been the exemplar over two decades. But, you know, Greg Popovich has gone through some pretty heavy personal loss the last year.
Sure.
He's had a star ask out two off seasons in a row. He held out. He just dealt with a year-long holdout. He's thinking about retirement in 2020. There is part of me that feels like maybe Pop is like, I'm just going to ride this. And maybe I'm wrong, and maybe like the work ethic is what it'll always be, and they'll figure it out. But there was a stat the other day on top of the defense. I mean, the defense is going to be a struggle. Like, aside from Murray, they don't have one plus defender on that team right now. But the shooting. So their combined starting lineup, or projected starting lineup of Gasol, Gay, Aldrich, DeRozan, and Murray hit 205 three-pointers last year, you know, and that being a career high for DeRozan, getting his 89. There were nine players in the NBA who had more than that on their own. So shooting and defense, which is what everyone's trying to win championships right now, is not in the cards for the Spurs. So very interested to see how that looks.
For San Antonio, I look at it where I think regular season success can be on the table because they traditionally beat up on the bad teams. And I mean, they won 47 games last year virtually without Kawhi Leonard, I think two or three games off being the three seed. So I think they've got a great chance to still be a four or five seed in the West. My bigger concern with them is kind of, and with what you just laid out, I don't know how this team wins playoff basketball games.
Yeah. You know, it's very, very interesting to me from the perspective of they have two All-NBA players. I mean, DeMar DeRozan and LaMarcus Aldridge both made All-NBA teams last year. They both got MVP votes last year. Those are guys that, you know, in theory are top 15 or around there. That's a lot of talent on paper, but it's like you have a job. Let's say you're a gardener and you really need a rake and a shovel and a fresh bag of manure to start this garden, but Pop's got two shovels. Like, he just has two tools that he's doubled up. I mean, he has two guys that take mid-range jumpers and don't play great defense and want to have the ball in their hands. And it's just such a weird fit in today's NBA.
It's like 80s hoops. It's like an 80s hoops team. They'd be really good in the 80s. They just would foul people hard and hand check, and that would be their style of defense as opposed to what it is now. But again, we're with Josh Eberle. You can find him on Twitter at Josh Eberle, E-B-E-R-L-E-Y is how you spell Eberle, and he writes for at Hoop Mag. You find him on at Hoop Mag, and that's found on Twitter at Hoop Mag. So a couple other storylines, obviously, this week. Carmelo Anthony thing seems like it's all roads leading to Houston. It seems it'll be that way. But there's more question marks about Houston now than there were 2 months ago. They lost Trevor Ariza, who's a good defender for them. They bring in Carmelo, who struggled in his backup / third wheel role in OKC. So what the Rockets are worse to me coming into this next season than they were.
Yeah, they really are. You know, they haven't even figured out things with Clint Capella, which, what are you doing? Like, you buy this team, you're on the record, the owner is on the record for saying, you know, if you want to win a championship, you have to go into the deep into the luxury tax that's part of, you know, winning in today's NBA. You believe, I don't believe, they believe if Chris Paul is healthy, they're advancing into the finals, probably winning a championship over Cleveland. And yet when it comes time to pay everybody, run it back, like, where's that energy? Like, where is that commentary that should have propelled you just to bring everybody back and run it back if you truly believe that? You know, Ariza is a big loss for them. I know he shot 0-12 in Game 7. Like, I know he's probably past his prime, but he was their best defender in Kevin Durant. And you lose Bam Mute as well. And now you're messing around with Clint Capella's money, and who knows what that relationship looks like. And I mean, that's the last domino of the offseason, honestly. Like, what are they going to do with Clint Capella? No one else has money, so they're kind of at this impasse. But, you know, and bringing Carmelo Anthony. Carmelo Anthony is a negative presence on both sides of the ball. Every time he puts the ball down, dribbles into double coverage, takes an ill-advised shot, takes the ball out of the hands of Harden and Paul, who you much prefer it to be with. I don't really understand this offseason for Houston. I think they've kind of opened the door for Los Angeles, Utah, Oklahoma City to hop them.
On terms of the Melo thing, because this has been going on for years now, where people think Olympic Melo is just going to become a thing. Olympic Melo doesn't exist. It's like the Loch Ness Monster. It's not just going, he's not going to just agree to start doing spot up threes all the time. And I think one of the biggest problems with this, Josh, and tell me if I'm wrong here, but Melo's probably going to start for this team because of the losses that they had throughout this offseason, which I think is going to make everything worse.
Yeah, I mean, this was a team that was really good defensively last year. You found a way to be a very good defensive team with James Harden because you let him play guys in the post and you had good defenders around him and Paul and Ariza and Tucker and Capella, and now you're going to throw a guy in like Melo who's just a pylon defense, hasn't given an honest effort in there since probably 2013. And the other thing is, like, the one thing Melo did well last year was spot-up shooting. Like, his effective field goal percentage on spot-up shots off Russell Westbrook passes was, like, 57%, which is pretty rock solid. But he doesn't like to do that. Like, if Melo was going to play within that system and do what Ariza did on offense, which is swing to the corner, shoot when you get it, and otherwise stay out of the way, I think there might be some positive value from him, at least offensively. But the combination of him not playing defense and him wanting to do his own thing on offense, I just don't see the benefit. Like, I don't see what Houston sees here. You know, Daryl Morey is someone that we applaud over and over and over in the media for being a savvy GM, for being a smart guy, for his use of analytics. And his two additions this year are Michael Carter-Williams and Carmelo Anthony. And I'm just so confused in the switch of direction here.
It's really brutal. Just keep in mind, 2 months ago, when Carmelo was asked about coming off the bench, wherever he landed next, he said it was out of the question. So that's where his head is at. Now, if Chris Paul can somehow get inside that brain of his and convince him that he's better off doing something else, it is one of his best friends in the entire league, then maybe they've got a shot. But I'm with you guys right now. I think it's a much worse team defensively, and if Carmelo is out there doing Carmelo things, then it's going to look ugly at times. So, again, we're with Josh Eberle. He's a member of the Pro Basketball Writers Association. I do want to get to one last guy because a good friend of mine, Drew Dinkmeyer, who is one of the writers at Daily Roto and is like an NBA DFS expert, is a diehard Bulls fan. And he is just sort of incensed as what's gone on these last couple of weeks, where they matched the Zach LaVine offer, so then they have a guy with a potentially degenerative knee condition that they've committed $80 million to, and then they gave 20 plus a $20 million option to Jabari Parker. So I don't really get what the Bulls are doing either.
Yeah, I mean, you need someone smarter than me to break that one down, because I don't know either. I get the Jabari Parker signing from, we're probably still not ready to be in the playoffs. Let's bring in a hometown kid with some upside. Really, it's only a 1 year deal if we don't want it to be a 2 year deal. Like, I think that's low risk enough on a 1 year thing where, like, the fan appeal and giving a guy that was drafted that high another chance makes sense. But they're gonna play him out of position at the three instead of the four. And you have LaVine, so really you have two wings that like to take a bunch of jumpers and not play defense. So that's a weird pairing. Like, I do like what they did with Lowry Markkanen. and Wendell Carter Jr. I think those guys are promising young bigs, but Chicago is kind of a seesaw. Like, oh, good move, bad move, good move, bad move. And it's been like that for quite a few years now.
Yeah. Well, good stuff. Go ahead, Kev. One more quick
one.
Yeah,
Josh, we're coming up against the clock, so it's just going to be a yes or no. Jimmy Butler is on the Timberwolves at the end of this coming season.
No.
I agree. Man, I agree. I think they got to figure out something. It's going to be a tough spot for Minnesota.
That's brutal. Well, I'm a Knicks fan, so I've got pipe dreams out there to rekindle with Jimmy and Kyrie and the whole crew getting together in New York once Porzingis is healthy. And we finally got a draft pick right, I think, with Kevin Knox. Do you think they got that one right?
I think Knox is going to be a player. I like Knox. I like the Hezonja pickup, too. I think Mario Hezonja is a guy who didn't get a fair shake in Orlando, and everyone that's left Orlando has done better.
Now we're talking. Oladipo, Hezonja. That's what I need. I need some Orlando cast-offs. Hopefully Elfrid Payton will make something of himself. Good stuff. Bye. Thanks, Josh. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you again soon. This is Josh Eberle. You can find him on Twitter, @JoshEberle, EBERLEY. We'll be right back on FST.